While sometimes it seems that all the stories we hear are tales of trouble and heartache, there's always good in the world, and sometimes we need a little reminder of that. There are people making a difference every day, bringing their passions and expertise to their task in the hopes of making lives a little better.
You don't have to know someone to love someone.
While many of them labor behind the scenes, we'd like to shine a spotlight on some of them for you. Today we meet the founders of two companies nominated for Entrepreneur of the Year. We talked to a man who took his own experience as a foster youth and created a way to make the experience better for other kids. And we hear from a true survivor. Brian Banks gives us an update on his life as an author and public speaker 10 years after being exonerated for crime he did not commit. On Fox 11 News, In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Devine, in for Hal Eisner. So excited to be here. We begin with the biggest event of the year to honor some of SoCal's best innovators, our entrepreneurs. It is the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards, and we meet two of our finalists. Joanna McFarland is the CEO and co-founder of Hop Skip Drive. It's a ride service for kids, a safe, innovative school transportation solution, and so much excitement in the air over Angel City Football, LA's newest pro women's soccer team. Julie Ehrman is the co-founder and president. Thank you both. We appreciate you being here. Joanna, let me start with you. How exciting is it to be part of Entrepreneur of the Year?
It's incredibly exciting. It's a huge honor to be with in a category with all of these amazing founders. You know, admired Julie for years and so many of the other incredible founders and CEOs.
Julie, how about you? And a big year for you as well.
It's a big year. It's the inaugural year where we launched a women's professional soccer team here in LA. And just being nominated for this award is incredible. It's just a testament to the incredible work my team has done to make a statement here in Los Angeles and around the world for women's sports. And I'm just so pleased to be part of the team and fortunate enough to lead it.
All right, let's learn more about your companies. Joanna, Hop, Skip, Drive. How'd you come up with that idea?
We came up with that idea because I couldn't get my son to karate at 3 o'clock as a working mom. And so it started as a consumer business to help families out, started here in LA. And now we contract with over 350 districts across the country, helping provide school transportation for some of our most vulnerable youth, students who have special needs, students who are experiencing homelessness, students in the foster care system.
I'm thinking of a time a girlfriend called me, can you take my kid to practice? I understand that call. Now, you have an MBA from Stanford, but to start your own business, how was that?
It was like nothing I've ever done before. This is the first company I've ever started. I had no idea what I was doing or what I was getting into. I just had an idea that I was passionate about and needed to solve this problem for parents like me. And so lots of learning along the way, lots of mistakes made, lots of high highs and low lows.
Oh, yes. I hear that about entrepreneurs. The low lows are quite the story. All right, Julie, let me talk to you now about women's pro soccer in LA. How big a deal is that?
It's a pretty big deal. The National Women's Soccer League has been around for 10 years. It's in its third iteration of a professional league. It's the second team here in Los Angeles. And we had a mission to sell out our stadium, to win games, and to give impact into our community. And we are doing that every single day. Our home opener was a sold-out crowd. We'll be giving $1.2 million back to the community through our partnership model, where 10% of our sponsorship revenue goes back to the community. And we're doing it with our community. We've built an incredibly vibrant community who comes for the entertainment, stays for the soccer, and is supporting us all year round.
Well, the location itself, Banc of California Stadium, is an awesome stadium to play in. And we were there covering that news conference on the opening game. For people who are thinking about, you know, a franchise like this, seems like it might be easy to bring that here. What were the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, Los Angeles is actually probably the hardest city to bring a new professional sports team. Mm-hmm. There are 11 professional sports teams here in LA. That does not count USC and UCLA. You also have distractions of the beach and the mountains. And 90 minutes is a lot of time to ask someone to do something for you. So we set out to build a team that was different. We lead with purpose. We want to have a positive impact in our community with every single thing we do. We include our fans in that. So 1% of our net gate receipts go to our players. We donate sports bras for every ticket we sell, and we want to make a difference here in LA. And that starts with our players, supporting them on and off the pitch, telling their stories so you know who they are, so that when you come to a game, you truly feel who you truly feel like you know who we are and what we're about, and you're excited to come back.
Well, we were just seeing some of your players. My niece is a league player, so I love seeing that women can play this professional sport. Tell everyone why they should come out and see a game.
It's an incredible experience. I mean, we talk about it as being magical and electric. This team was started by three females. It's a majority female ownership group. And this community that supports Angel City is what I heard now, the most diverse community in LA. It is inclusive. It is diverse. There are young kids, girls and boys and moms and dads and young adults. It is an incredibly fun afternoon, and we have some of the best players in the league, and we win some games. It's an incredible time.
Yeah, it's also about jobs. Joanna, let's go back to you. Your drivers make up to $40 an hour, so you hire.
That's right, and we provide a safe and flexible income opportunity for, you know, caregivers who want to give back to their community and want to do it in a safe way. And, you know, we've seen so many women leave the workforce during COVID, especially because they need flexibility. And so this is an opportunity to provide that flexibility while giving back to the community and giving back to the community often in the same communities where their own kids went to school.
All right. So as entrepreneurs, I'm thinking that you all might have a motto you live by. So leave me with this. Joanna, start me out. A motto that you live by.
I think this is from Hunter S. Thompson, but it's you buy the ticket, you take the ride. You know, you go through those high highs and low lows, and you keep a clear head, and you rely on your team that you've built, that you trust, and you make the best bad decision you can make at any given time.
All right. We live through the challenges. All right, Julie, how about you? A motto?
All right. Don't take no for an answer. No, it's just an opportunity to find a different way to yes.
Well, I thank you both. Congrats on being selected as a finalist for LA's EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. Past winners include global business leaders like The Honest Company, Dollar Shave Club, Starbucks. It all ends with the EY World Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. We hope to see you there. Thank you, Joanna McFarlane and Julie Ehrman, for your contribution to the California economy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. A former foster youth was haunted by one part of the degrading process, packing all his belongings in a plastic garbage bag. This is what he did about it right after this. You know, with our Wednesday's Child segment here on Fox 11, I had to include a guest on foster care. Children in the system can go from home to home with only a garbage bag full of possessions. Rob Shear knows that reality. He was in foster care 10 years ago. He set out to make a change. And Rob Shear, you are a success story out of the foster care system, founder of Comfort Cases and adoptive parent. Welcome. And let's talk about being a dad.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, first of all, for having me. And what the greatest title in the world is dad. It's something that I always wanted to be. And I'm so fortunate that I'm a dad to five of the most amazing humans.
And we're seeing them on the wall behind you. But I want to look at the picture of your family. They're from foster care, these kids. You and your partner adopted them.
Yes, my husband and I actually, we knew we wanted to be dads. And so we started the journey 13 years ago when our first two children arrived, my daughter Amaya, who was 4 at the time, and her little brother Makai, who was 2. And little did we know that 3 months later, my sweet boy Grayson would arrive at the age of 2 with his little brother Tristan, who was 6 months. And all of a sudden, within 3 months, we were dads to 4 kids. but you know what? We just made it work. And then in 2019, I'm a public speaker, and as I was giving a speech, I met a young boy, and he'd been in foster care just like me. He was getting ready to age out just like I did, and he was going to become homeless just like I was, and I just couldn't let it happen on my watch. And so in 2019, our fifth child, Alex, arrived as a senior in high school, and he's now 21. So my kids are 21, 17, 15, 14, and 13.
Spoken like a proud dad. All right, let's talk about launching Comfort Cases. What is it? Why did you do it?
You know what? The fact is I am a banker by trade for 28 years and I'm a corporate guy and I sat behind my desk and that's all I thought about until my children, as I was watching them grow, I realized that as a leader, and by the way, each and every one of us are leaders, that I needed to lead by example. And the thing that I needed to do was to make sure that I impacted a community that touched each and every one of us. And that was foster care. And the first thing I thought about was the trash bag that I had carried back in the 70s, the trash bag that I saw each and every one of my children arrive in my home carrying. And then I started thinking about the fact that the children who enter our system, and by the way, that is one child every 2 minutes.
But Rob, let me stop you right here. I'm looking right now at a packing party. So the comfort case is because kids were coming with plastic bags for all their belongings. And you said, no, we're going to create beautiful backpacks for them.
Yeah, we decided that no more, we weren't going to allow it. So we packed a case with brand new pajamas, toiletries. They get an activity, a book, a stuffy, and a blankie. I think that every child needs to know that they are loved by their community. And you do that by giving them something new and not a trash bag.
And you're bringing a lot of these backpacks to LA. That's where you and I met. Talk about your own journey, because you were in foster care yourself.
Yeah, I actually was. I went into the system at the age of 12, carrying a trash bag, just like so many other children. And I just floundered through the system. And then when I was a senior in high school in the fall of 1984, I actually turned 18 and I aged out of the system like we see 30,000 children every year do. And the problem is, I was one of those 70% that became homeless immediately and lived on the streets my entire senior year of high school. But I had made a choice at that moment that I wasn't going to allow my community to define me by a trash bag. So I graduated from high school, I joined the United States Navy, and I became a very successful businessman.
All right, how many comfort cases, backpacks do you think you've given out?
Well, first of all, I will tell you, we are an international nonprofit. We are 96% volunteer ran, and we have delivered over 175,000 cases to all 50 states, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the United Kingdom.
All right, give me one line. What is your motto that you live by?
You know what, my friend? It's don't blame the system. Come and help me change the system.
And your children, are they part of this as well?
Oh, my children are a huge part of this, along with my husband, Reese. They volunteer all the time. This is a family charity, and we are just lucky that all of the people in our community, and by the way, your community is not your zip code, it's our human race, that every single county throughout our country is also stepping up and helping.
And you've got a great line, too. You don't have to know someone to love someone. I love that. Where does that come from?
You know, the fact is I met a young boy in the Midwest who was receiving a case. He'd been in the system for several years. He asked me, Mr. Rob, why would somebody do this for me? And I said, do what? Why would someone give me all of this new stuff and they don't know me? And at that moment, it hit me that I realized that you don't have to know someone to love someone. And that's what we all need to know, to be a good human and realize that if we lift kids up in foster care, we lift ourselves up.
I love it. I know you live back east. You're coming back to LA, so let's tell everybody about the next event. It is a partnership with Tiffany Haddish. We all know this comedian was in foster care herself. She's got an organization called She Ready, and a few other amazing groups are taking part. The event is Sunday, June 18th, between 2:30 and 4 p.m., Temple, Israel, Los Angeles, and Hollywood Boulevard. It's a packing party for those backpacks. Rob Scheer, thank you so much, and continued blessings on your journey.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
We'll see you again. Coming up next here on Fox 11 News In Depth, a man whose life story is so dramatic and inspirational, it was turned into a big screen movie. After the break, we catch up with Brian Banks. It was 10 years ago that his case of being wrongly incarcerated was overturned. It is an honor to hear again from our next guest, Brian Banks. He's a national public speaker. He sits on the advisory board of the California Innocence Project after being exonerated himself for a crime he did not commit. Brian, we always welcome you. How are you?
I'm great. Christine, it's good to see you as always.
That energy and that smile, we love it. And the laugh. Okay, so you marked a major 10-year anniversary. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's, May 24th, was 10 years to the date that I was exonerated and finally cleared of a 10-year wrongful conviction, where at the age of 16, I lost my life for a crime I didn't commit. And it wasn't until the age of 26 that I was found innocent and actually found factually innocent and given my freedom, my life back, and have an opportunity to once again pursue dreams. So it's been like night and day since, with all the what has come to fruition and things that I've been able to experience and what my family's been able to go through and experience since all the hardship. We are truly in a much better place today.
I don't know if you're seeing the footage, but we were looking at the video that you and I shot at your mom's place, and you'd been freshly exonerated, and just looking back at that chapter, I'm almost in tears again. Now, the world, Brian, saw your story in the 2018 movie Brian Banks, but I just want to relive a little bit of the memories. You were a Long Beach football star, falsely accused of rape, sent to juvenile hall, to prison, then gained national attention when you were cleared by the California Innocence Project. You got a shot at playing pro football, you had a TV show, wrote a book. What is your message as you now speak to the public?
Well, I think there's many messages. And one thing that I've learned over the years is that there is not one message that will rally an entire group of people. You have to come through all different types of messages. But I think that one of the big things is to just never quit, to never give up on yourself, to know that no one will work harder for you than you and the things that you want to achieve in life. And with so many people going through unimaginable experiences, grieving, living in fear, hopelessness, the voices are needed, the voices of reason, the voices of resilience, the voices, the fearless voices. And I think what I've learned over these years is that when you're in the business of servitude, the work never stops. Mm-hmm. And so here I am today, continually and continuously pushing a message of hope to never quit, to never give up, to never give in, and to love yourself, no matter what.
So the California Innocence Project worked on your case, working to clear you. What do you make of the work that they're still doing and the need for that work?
Yes, the work that we are still doing.
Yes.
I'm still very much part of the California Innocence Project, giving my voice as much as I can, being a champion, a leader for them, and spreading the awareness that wrongful convictions do in fact happen in this country extremely often. And it's something that we have to continuously focus on and work towards fixing and correcting. And the work that they do, free of charge, without asking for anything back, it's godsend. And those are the type of people that we need to protect, that we need to rally around, that we need to continue to uphold, are those who work for those who cannot work for themselves. And that is the business of servitude. So I value them. I appreciate them. Justin Brooks, the founder.
Yes.
Just amazing, beautiful, beautiful people.
I'm wondering if you can take us back in time as you look back this 10-year anniversary, some of your darkest days, because we have talked. You thought you were going to just do the juvie hall time. You had no idea you were going to then go on to prison. You're this high school football star. What kept you going? Where was your strength?
You know, I think that there were multiple things that played a role in me never giving up and me pushing forward. Number one, I would have to say it was the strength of my mom.
Yes.
That goes through my body, my blood, my veins. Having her strength is one of the main things that kept me afloat. Aside from that, I think the competitiveness of football and sports definitely played a big role in me having that in me to never quit and to never give up. And when you're knocked down, to get back up and to keep pushing. And then just the journey of self-discovery, or what my mentor would say of self-rediscovery, that we never learn anything that we don't already know. And so taking that journey of self-rediscovery and trying to better myself in an unwanted situation, in an unexpected situation, I think only heightened my tenacity, my drive, my ambition, my resilience to continuously push forward and to never give in to the lies, the accusations, the life that others wanted for me that was not meant for me.
And we love your mom. She's a teacher in Long Beach. You went to high school in Long Beach. Let's roll a clip of the movie, which the world got to see your story. I want to know, what's now for Brian Banks? What's the next chapter? What are you working on? What are you doing?
Yeah. So aside from the things that you mentioned, the book, the movie, I had a small stint of a TV series. I've also become a father to a now 3-year-old boy who is the love and the focus of my life. You know, we started a family business, an e-commerce store. I am currently pitching a TV series that I'm having my fingers crossed that gets picked up. And I'm also working on another startup company. But more than anything, going back to the business of servitude, it never ends. And so I think that my main focus is speaking, being on stage and being one of those voices to give people hope, to give people a new way of looking at things. And we want to expand this message to a more international audience, as we can see across the whole world, everyone's dealing with something. Everyone's going through some form of sadness, grief, and loss, and hopelessness, and fear. And so it's up to us, those who have a voice, to use those voices wisely. And so I want to take this opportunity to continuously be in a voice and see how I can help those who need it and those who cannot help themselves.
Well, God bless you that you can be that person. And I know your biggest audience is your little guy, your son. So thank you, Joe. Thank you for joining us. Brian Banks, love you so much. If you'd like to learn more, check out Brian's website, brianbanksfree.com. We'll see you on that speaking tour. Brian, check back in with us, okay?
Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you for everything. You've been a champion in my life, my family's life. You have stepped in very early during my case. I know I'm going over in time, but I just want you to know we love you. We love you. We love you. Well, thank you so much.
We had to make it right.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we'll be right back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. And before we go, here's another inspiration. I'm feeling good from my head to my shoes. Know where I'm going and I know what to do. I tidied up my point of view. I got a new attitude. You know you were dancing along there. Look at Miss Patti LaBelle. She just turned 78. She's in the Grammy Hall of Fame. Rolling Stone included her on its list of 100 greatest singers, a sitcom, her own talk show, Dancing with the Stars at 70, and Masked Singer right here on Fox.